Psalm 9 tonight, starting a new psalm. We're going to focus in this psalm on deliverance, past deliverance, present deliverance, and future deliverance. That'll be our outline as we praise the Lord. And we're going to just read verses 1 to 10 or 1 to 11. Because that's as far as, I don't even think we'll get that far tonight just because of the content. Psalm 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name. O thou most high, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in thy throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial has perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask you tonight to glorify thy holy name as we go over the wonderful works that you have accomplished on this earth. Father, remind us of what you've done in the past, but also, Lord, remind us of what you have done for us in our lives. Remind us, Lord, of what you are currently doing, presently doing in our lives, that we might praise you, that we might exalt your name in our lives, that we might worship you. So, Father, we just ask you tonight to help us learn more about praising you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So how would you define a psalm if you were asked? Okay. Most folks may look at a psalm and say, it's like a hymn, a prayer. And we always think of David, right? The sweet psalmist of Israel, writing a song. And we know that some of them are praises to God. But we would say, and they are right, it's a prayer, it's a praise, it's a hymn. And when we look at more than anything else, we could say that the Psalms are hymns of praise. Hymns of praise. Now, when you go back, I want you to see Psalm 1 through 8. Just think about that. We've already covered them. There have not been psalms of purely praise until now, to this psalm. So this is chiefly The first psalm of praise in the Psalms. The last five psalms, go back in your Psalm 146. Psalm 146, it starts out. If you look at the last five psalms, look at what it begins with and ends with. Praise ye the Lord. You can't mistake that, amen. Then the verse 10, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord. The last phrase of Psalm 147, verse 20, praise ye the Lord. So on and so forth. So these are clearly psalms of praise, amen. But you look back at the first five, or the first psalms of the Bible, we know Psalm 1 and 2 are like introductory psalms. The first psalm celebrates the doctrine of two ways, amen? The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. The second psalm is a messianic psalm, remember, anticipating the rule of Christ, amen, when he rules as king on this earth. And then we've looked at the next psalms where they ask for help or deliverance or justice. The psalm closest to being a praise psalm is Psalm 8, and we kind of talked about that. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. And then it ends the same way. Oh, verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. But when you think about that psalm, and we understand that Psalm 8 is chiefly a celebration of the creation of man and the crowning of man, what God did for man. And so, when we come into this psalm, it's a psalm of praise. Now, let's begin with our first section. Number one, praise for past deliverance. I want you to remember in your mind all of the wonderful works of God, all of the marvelous works of God. Shouldn't we take time in our lives to sit down and meditate on that? Amen. So letter A, why should we praise Him? It says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. So why should we praise him? Letter A, because of God's marvelous works down through the ages. What should you do when you're surrounded by trouble? What should you do when fear surrounds you or anxiety? Brethren, you need to take a stroll down memory's lane. God's wonderful works. You need to change your thinking. And every one of us, think about God's faithfulness to you. Think about your own testimony of salvation. How the Lord came to you, how the Lord opened your eyes, how the Lord has kept you alive. Some of us wouldn't be here today if the Lord didn't save us. We'd already be dead and in hell. And so, how about when you've asked God in prayer to meet some need? And how He's intervened in your life. How He's worked in a marvelous way. Amen. That's what it says here. Marvelous works. God meets our needs. But think about what God did in the history of the nation of Israel. Amen? Because the Bible is a divine record of God's miraculous deeds. We ought not to forget that. So what do you ask God when you open the Bible? Well, maybe you should pray this prayer as we read in Psalm 119. Open thou mine eyes, 119:18, that I may behold what? Wondrous things out of thy law. God will show you what he has done, his marvelous works. And so pray that prayer. Think about the parting of the Red Sea. Think about the slaying of Goliath. The fire that came down from heaven on Elijah's sacrifice. How about the triumph of the Hebrew young man in the fiery furnace? Amen. How about Daniel in the lion's den? How about all the miracles of Jesus and the signs of the apostles? You know, the list can go on and on and on, and then we could add to it by the history of the church, the wonderful works of God. Remember, we preached on how Baptists shaped America. And you can go back in history and see the mighty works of God. Even in our own country. And so, brethren, we cannot keep silent. You know, the more you think about God, the more you think about what He's done, you have to praise Him. You have to speak of His name. You have to talk about how great He is and what He's done in your life. And that's what David said. Oh, Lord, how excellent. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a good one, too. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will what? Show forth all Thy marvelous works. Are we talking about this in our lives? Are we showing forth these things? David had a desire. Amen. To do that. That's part of praising God. Letter B. Not only because of God's marvelous works down through the ages, but because of God's wonderful name. He is the Most High. The Most High, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Brethren, what blocks the joy of the Lord in your life? What do you allow to block the joy of the Lord in your life? Trouble. Trouble's like a dam that blocks the joy of the Lord from flowing through us and into us and through us. But just meditate on Him, who He is. You see, David was in great danger. David, verse 13, have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. Do you see that? What was he suffering? What was he facing? He stood at the very gates of death. But what was he determined to do? He was determined, in verse 2, to be glad and rejoice in the Lord. And how can we do that? Just like David. Who is God? He's the Most High. Meaning, He's above all. He's supreme. He's greater than all. He is over all. You, when you think of God being the Most High, you have to realize this. Everybody and everything is inferior to God. Every enemy, every liar, every deceiver, every slanderer, every destroyer, every infirmity, every sickness and disease, every family problem, every financial problem, every personal weakness, every demonic force, even Satan himself, every temptation, even death. Listen, God is above all and over all. He is supreme. He's the Most High. He's greater than any trouble we face. He's greater than any problem we face. Do we believe that? Now, a lot of times, what do we struggle with? A lot of times we want to put our joy in the victory rather than God who gives us the victory. That's an error. Because all you're going to do is be up and down in your Christian life if you're only happy when you get the victory. God doesn't change. You can rejoice in Him and be glad. Remember, what's David going through? He said, I will rejoice and be glad in Him, in His name, in who He is. So I believe, brethren, we are to testify in these first two verses of God's marvelous works, and we are to celebrate God Himself. Listen, we do not worship the works, we worship the worker, God. Amen. Letter C. Verse 3. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Amen. Why should we praise Him with all of our heart? Because God turns back and overthrows those, all enemies, who cause you trouble. God overthrows those who cause you trouble. All enemies. What happens when you think of God's wondrous work? Just go through the Bible. What does God do? What has He done? And as David meditated on that, his faith grew strong. Amen. See, in faith, he was able to declare here that his foes would retreat when God showed up. Amen. So here's David's picture. He's picturing the enemies charging him at full speed with their weapons drawn. Suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, God appears. Our warrior God appears and steps in their path. They drop their weapons. They turn. They flee as fast as they can. They run in terror. That's the scene that David is describing here. God shows up. Amen. Brethren, if this is true, shouldn't our spirits be lifted up? Shouldn't our souls take courage? Like David? I mean, think of everything that David did in the name of the Lord, in the power of God. How about Moses? It was the Lord's presence. It was Moses' faith in the Lord's presence that enabled him to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. How about David? I know we always quote Psalm 23, but remember how much it meant for David. He marched fearlessly through the valley of the shadow of death because the Lord was with him. God's presence. And we can count on God's unfailing presence. How many verses do we need to quote in the New Testament? Jesus says, I am with thee unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord, He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to send you my Spirit, the Comforter, and He shall be with you forever. Brethren, if we have the presence of God, and we know we have the presence of God, then we can face whatever obstacle in our way. We can face every opponent in our way with the presence of God. He is before us. He is behind us. He is beside us. And with Him we can do all things. We are strengthened in Christ. We can do all things through Jesus Christ. I think one of the greatest things we can do is fulfill the Great Commission. Because He said, I am with you always. We don't have to go alone. The Lord is with us. Do we have that boldness? Can we praise God for His presence? Amen. Our enemies shall fall and perish at His presence. The gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. Amen. How about verse 4? For Thou hast maintained my rights and my cause. Thou sattest in Thy throne, judging right. We praise Him, brethren, because God upholds your right and cause. Amen. Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Brethren, when you are on God's side, you can be assured He's on your side. Amen. That's what we see in this verse. So David says, if I'm conducting myself righteously, if I'm living in full obedience to God's Word, then the Lord will be fighting His cause, defending His cause, and maintaining the right. Because God always acts consistently with His righteous character, His holy character. He will not fail us. And we see that God is on His throne. Amen. Judging right. God is on His throne in verse 4. He has always sat on His throne. That means, brethren, He doesn't shirk His duty. He never vacates the bench. He never fails to rule in any case. Everything that He does is righteous. And we see in this verse that the Lord always vindicated the righteous and pronounced judgment on the wicked. Think about David's life. We can attest to this through the other Psalms that we read. God vindicated His servant. That was one of our themes. And so, David knows this, and we ought to know this. God's verdict is always right. There are no cases that are ever appealed in God's courtroom. Amen. There's no need to appeal any ruling of God, because His rulings are right and just at all times. Well, think about this. Think about the past. Think about what God has done in your life. Think about what God does. All the marvelous works that He's done through the Word of God as you open the Scriptures every day and meditate on God's marvelous works. Praise Him. Amen. Praise Him because of His wonderful name. He's the Most High. He is supreme. He is over all. Amen. Everything is subject. Everyone is subject to Him. And aren't you thankful He will overthrow our enemies? Amen. Mine enemies are turned back. He said, when they are, He believed it in faith, they shall fall and perish at the presence of God. Is He with you or is He not? And then He will uphold your right and your cause. Verse 4. Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Let's praise Him tonight for these wonderful things. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. And we will continue down this list. And I hope by the time we get to the end of this psalm, we will learn more about what to praise God for, amen? What we need to be doing in our lives as we praise Him. I think it's very clear. So keep that in mind as you continue reading the Word of God and Psalm 9. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.